Daniel chapter 9 and Luke chapter 2. There were two people when Jesus came to the temple, Simon and Anna the prophetess. Two people that knew Jesus was going to be born that time of year. And the reason is they read their Bible. I'm not even sure Mary knew all that was happening. We'll find out when we get to heaven. But two people that you never hear mentioned, Simon and Anna, knew what was happening. We're going to cover the scripture tonight. I know that they had to know that Jesus was coming. They had to know this. They had to know this scripture. So you have Daniel chapter 9 here. Now, as we've covered Ezra and Nehemiah and Esther, we've learned that there are three chapters in the Bible that are revival prayer chapters. All right? We've learned Ezra 9, Nehemiah 9, and tonight, Daniel 9 is the third prayer for revival in your Bible. Now, what makes Daniel 9 unique is, let's look at the build-up for it here. Stick with me. I'm not going to look at that just yet, Daniel 9. Just watch this. When you're dealing with prophecy in the Bible, this is 600 and 700 years before Jesus came to the earth. God makes mention in Isaiah, all right? He says this, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me." In the next verse, God says why there is no God like him. Because he declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. God says, I'm the only one that does that. That's what makes me such a wonderful God. Because there is no God that prophesies like God does. In the chapter, that's Isaiah chapter 46. In Isaiah chapter 41, look at how God mocks other religions. Watch this. In Isaiah 41, God says, "Produce your cause, saith the Lord." He says, "Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth, and watch, and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things, what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare unto us things to come." He says, bring your gods. He says, bring me a God that can tell me the future. He said, let them speak. That's because there is no God that does that. He said, bring your gods. I just like the sarcasm in God's voice. God says, there is no God like me that knows the future and declares it from the end to the beginning. All right? So, you get the picture. God says, this is what makes me such a... Look, pick any religion in the world. They're all false. Pick Jehovah's Witnesses. What, 14 prophecies of Jesus coming? And, yeah, Jesus is coming next year. And like a few years pass. Well, he's coming that next year. They've done that about 14 times. That proves to Jehovah's Witnesses are a false religion. All right? So, with that in mind, as we look at prophecy tonight... Where is the book of Daniel? Daniel was taken as a teenage boy in 606 BC into the captivity, the Babylonian captivity. Ezekiel would go in the next phase of captivity, and Daniel was taken as a teenage boy and turned into a eunuch. Whether it was chemical, whether it was surgical, it doesn't make any difference. He was a seed of the king, related to the king. And they took him to Babylon, and that's how come he never married. That's how come Ezekiel is over there. Now, while he was there, Jeremiah, the poor man's prophet, he was left back in Jerusalem. So you have Daniel being one of the key, I would say one of the top three men in the Old Testament. And God makes mention of that in Ezekiel. We won't get into that tonight, but here we go. Here's the time frame. Now, they have been in captivity. Daniel has been in captivity, and look at Daniel chapter 9, look at verse 1. It says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem." Now, the key part we're going to look at tonight is at the end of Daniel chapter 9. But Daniel starts the chapter by saying, we're at the end of the captivity. Most would say this is Daniel's been in captivity 69 years. He is in his 80s. He's an old man. When he was cast into the lion's den, that wasn't a middle-aged man. That was an old man that they put in the lion's den. Well, here he is in his 80s, and he said, Lord, I remember Jeremiah in chapter 25 saying this, I'm going to send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and this whole land. Jerusalem shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. He said that in Jeremiah 25, and in chapter 29, he also said, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you. So Daniel's in captivity. He said, Jeremiah said we were going to be in captivity for 70 years. It's about year 69. Daniel knows that they have about 1 year left. And so he starts to pray in Daniel chapter 9, in verse 1 and 2, he starts saying, Dear Lord, knowing this, we've been in captivity in a foreign land, 500 miles away from Israel. Now, look at what happens when he starts to pray. He says here, look at verse 3. It says, And I set my face unto the Lord God to keep a seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. The rest of the prayer is this. God, we're your people, and we've been in this foreign land for 70 years. Lord, are you done with us? Lord, we deserve confusion of face because of our sin. Lord, you're righteous, but Lord, please show us what you have for us now. So, you're going to get to the end of the chapter there, and in verse 22, Gabriel is sent to Daniel at the end of this prayer, and notice what the angel says, all right? In verse 22, he says, And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. So what is getting ready to follow is God's explanation to Daniel about his plans for the nation of Israel while Daniel is in a foreign land. That's why most people refer to Daniel chapter. That's why Daniel is one of the most hated books in the Bible. This prophecy is probably, I would say, one of the top three, if not the top two, and the most specific prophecy in your Bible. And that's why critics who don't like the Bible, they can't stand the book of Daniel. Because, well, how could anything this specific come true that we're going to look at tonight? So Gabriel tells him, I'm going to help you understand God's plan for Israel. So with that in mind, to understand this vision, you have to, Daniel says in verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Let's just take this a piece at a time. Now, many people have told me, and I've been taught since I've been saved, that this is what you would call a difficult portion of Scripture. What we're going to touch on tonight is, I would say, just a quarter. You could spend literally four more Bible studies on this. There's so much in-depth to it. But let's see if I can, I want to keep you with me. And so what did God mean when he said 70 weeks? First of all, when you're dealing with Bible terminology, in Leviticus 25, now you really got to stick with me here. In Leviticus 25, God speaks of sabbatical years and the Jubilee. All right? These are weeks of years and not days. When God says 70 weeks, he is talking about each day representing a year. Now that's different, isn't it? Second of all, every day of the week is going to represent a year. It's not days. Here's how it works in Leviticus 25. Stay with me. Ready? You've got 6 years you're supposed to plant your fields, and the seventh year you let it rest. That's a sabbatical year. Then, the next year, you do it again. 6 years you plant your field. The seventh year, you let it rest. You don't harvest anything, and God says, in the sixth year, I'll give you enough to live on the following year and that year. The reason this is so strange is nobody's ever done it, including Israel. They never did what God told. God said, that is my land. When you plow my land, don't you drain my land. God says, you plant it 6 years and you let it rest the seventh. They never did. Well, keep following me here. Then you're supposed to do it again. Plant six, rest 1 year. Plant six, rest 1 year. Plant six, rest 1 year. By the time you had done this, seven sets, okay? Seven times seven is going to be 49, right? On the 50th year, year number 50, that was the Jubilee. There's songs, it's funny, you know, there's songs in the songbook about Jubilee. And it's funny, Israel never kept the yearly Sabbaths, okay? The sabbatical years, and Israel never observed the Jubilee. No one's ever done it. Yet God gave specific instructions for them to do so. All right? In that 50th year, here's what was supposed to happen. The land wasn't farmed. Then all slaves were set free. It never happened. Then all land went back to their original owners. If you had family land and you sold it to somebody in year 45, 5 years later, it came back to you. God didn't allow family land to be sold and kept by other people. So, now that you get that concept, every time, here's one more concept. We got to stay on the 70 weeks thing. Every time you went through a cycle like this, year Jubilee 1, year Jubilee 2, Jubilee that, okay, when you went through this 10 times, that was called a sabbatical cycle. So 10, that'd be 490 years. You say, why is this important, preacher? You're boring me to death. All right? Watch closely. We know that there's two numbers that deal with God in the Bible, right? Number 3 and number 7. Everybody heard that before? So number 7 is God's complete number. So when you're dealing with divisions of 7 and multiples of 7, you need to pay close attention, because look what God did in the Bible with the number 7. And remember this sabbatical cycle of 490 years. Boy, God did something real special there, didn't he? Okay. Now, before you think this is too weird, look what God did in the history of Israel. From Abraham to the Exodus out of Egypt was 490 years, 70 sabbatical years. Then, from Egypt to the building of Solomon's temple was 490 years, 70 sabbatical years, another sabbatical cycle. From the temple until they went into captivity and the decree is given by Cyrus, another 490 years. And what we are going to look at is the 70 weeks determined by God's, on God's people, of the next 490 years. Another sabbatical cycle. So, that's why somebody going, the numbers doesn't mean anything. Well, careful. God's a God of order, right? And he does everything on purpose. So, what we're going to look at is right here. Daniel is here in the captivity. The decree's getting ready to happen. And he says, let me show you what's going to happen with Israel right in this time frame. So, here's what we got going. He says, 70 weeks are determined against thy people and Israel, and they didn't keep it. They go into captivity. Then we're going to have a 7 week, then a 62 week, and one more week is going to remain. Okay? So for me to show you this, look at this again. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. One more thing you have to understand before we get into this. All through your Bible, a Jewish year is a 360-day year. We have how many days in our year? 365.2524. That's why every 4 years we have a leap year, right? And in your Bible, we go by a Gregorian calendar. There's 360 days a year in the Jewish calendar. If you take 360 days per year, multiply it times 483, you get this magical number right here, 173,880. You say, Okay, what's the big deal? I'm going to show you that God said from the time this happens, 173,880 days later, the Messiah is going to come as the prince. God told them to the day. But because nobody read their Bible, because even the Jews, it'll take care of itself. Everybody had that idea. Nobody knew what was happening when Jesus came. How come, you mean the God coming to this earth, we celebrate it? How come only the shepherds showed up? You would have thought there'd been a crowd. Nobody knew what was going on. And yet God said, I'll tell you to the day. Let's look at this prophecy a little more in depth. Ready? First of all, the days are important because when you get into the book of Revelation, you have a 7-year period time. And the first 3.5 years is 1260 days. And when the Antichrist comes, Satan incarnate, the last 3.5 years is also 1260 days. You're going to see that in your Bible. Okay, if you read your Bible. I hope you do. Okay. Now, let's go into this. In Nehemiah chapter 2, we got to look at Nehemiah a couple of months ago, and we were in chapter 2. He goes before Artaxerxes, and he asks for permission to go back and rebuild Jerusalem. That date, right there, March 14th, 445 BC, is when God started the numbering. Now, that's on your piece of paper there. You shouldn't have to take notes at all tonight. Okay. That's all on the paper. That's for you to look at. You're going to see this date several other times, so watch what happens. God reveals his 70-week or 490-year program for Israel to Daniel. That's why people say the book of Daniel had to have been penned after this because God can't be that. But no, God can prophesy and God can tell the future. All right, so this is one of those prophecy. First of all, it's determined upon thy people or upon Israel and upon the holy city. That means what we're getting ready to look at deals just with Israel. You say, what's the opposite? We're the Gentile church. It doesn't matter if you're full-blooded Jew or not. We're the Gentile church. What we're getting ready to read does not apply to us, but it does apply to Israel. That's not going to be important until we get to the last week, but it's just good for everybody to know. This is for Israel and Jerusalem. Next, God, notice this. When you read in your Bible, maybe if you put a line, look at verse number 24. It says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to do what? To finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity. After that comma, see the word iniquity there? There's a gap of several thousand years. That's amazing. In the Bible, God uses a comma to separate, make two events that are separated from several thousand years. Now, just because somebody said, if you're internet trained, I feel sorry for you, okay? There's a lot of goofy stuff on the internet because some people don't allow for a gap. A gap is in your Bible several times. Can I show you a couple of them? In the book of Isaiah 61, when Jesus went into the temple and he read the scripture, he didn't read all of Isaiah 61. He read down to preach the acceptable year of the Lord when he was reading Isaiah in Luke. In Isaiah, it says here's the scripture, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, comma, he did not read, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. How come? Because this doesn't happen till Jesus comes again. Here's the first coming. This is what Jesus did in the first coming. And this is what Jesus is going to do when he comes the second time. So one comma separated two events, the first coming and the second coming. No, there's gaps in the Bible when you read it. It happens again. Let me show you this. In the book of Acts, when Peter is preaching, he uses Joel as his text verse. And it says here in Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Also upon my spirit, the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And they stopped. The whole passage was not read. How come? Because this happens at the first coming, and the verse 30, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. That's the second coming of Jesus. Everybody see the two events? So you have one, you have two events right real close to each other, and you have a gap time frame. I think you get the concept, but in Isaiah chapter 9, we're all aware of verse number 7. It says, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The next verse says, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. This is what happens when Jesus comes the second time. This is what happens when Jesus came the first time. See the two events? So all through your Bible, the first coming is backed right up close to the second coming. And it looks like, that's how come the Jews thought Jesus was come to free him from the Roman Empire. And he had come to die. He hadn't come to reign as king. They're sitting here going, but it says, in the Old Testament, they didn't understand the gap. Here we go. In Zechariah, it does the same thing. Chapter 9, you have the first coming when Jesus rode the donkey. And you have the second coming. He shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea. So there it is. How come this is such a problem? It would help if we understood in the Old Testament, as they looked at prophecy, they didn't see the valley of the church. We're right here. What they saw when they looked at Jesus was they saw his first coming, and they saw his coming as a king. They didn't see the time frame. The time frames in the valleys. Maybe that might help you. Somebody explained that to me and said, all they saw was Jesus coming and reigning. They didn't see it separated. So, the times of the Gentiles, Jesus spoke of and he taught of, and Daniel was in the times of the Gentiles. What's the times of the Gentiles? That's when Jerusalem is no longer a world power. So when Jeconiah threw the Bible into the fire, God said, you want to burn my word? Israel's done now. For the next 600 plus another 2,000 years, the times of the Gentiles is all the way until Jesus comes again. So Israel and the Jews, that's how come, look, there, I'd explained this to you before, there's anti-Semitism, hatred of the Jews. How come the whole world knows what anti-Semitic is? Is there a name if you hate Russians? No. Is there a name if you hate people from South America? No. There is a name if you hate Jews, and the whole world knows what it is. How come the whole world is against Israel? Because right now this is the times of the Gentiles. So, when does it end? When Jesus comes again, that's when it ends, and then Israel will be the center of the universe, and it will become the power again. That's where Jesus will be reigning from for 1,000 years. In Revelation 11:5, it says, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That hasn't happened yet, but it's going to. So, with this in mind, the 70 weeks, here's what happens, all right? You have the 7 weeks, the 62 weeks, and we'll look at here, and it takes us up to Messiah being cut off, which is killed on the cross, okay? Then you have a gap, and you have then the 70th week, all right? 69 and 70 weeks here, all right? So first of all, why was Jerusalem destroyed in 70 AD? Because when you look at Luke 19, and Jesus, when he was come near, he beheld the city and he wept over it. Why did he weep over it? He said, if you'd known even now in the least this thy day the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes, for the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. How come? Because thou knewest not the day of thy visitation. Jesus said, you missed me. I told you when I was coming, 173,880 days ago, and nobody reads my word. Now because you're rejecting me, and they do, God says, you're done. The whole city gets leveled. We'll show you that here in just a second. Does everybody see how important reading your Bible is? America is so ignorant of the Bible. But nobody, okay, people are aware of it, they respect it, but nobody reads it. Had they been reading it, that was Jesus, that's why Jesus wept. You missed it. How could I be more plain? Daniel chapter 9. How could I tell you the exact day? Now it's over. You're rejecting me, you don't know who I am. Now judgment's coming, and it didn't have to be this way had you just read my word. So, knowing this prophecy, that's how come it says, you're in Daniel chapter 9, can we look at verse 25? It says here, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. So from the time Artaxerxes tells Nehemiah, you can go back. So from March 14th, 445 B.C., unto Messiah the Prince, April 6, 33 A.D., is going to be 173,880 days, or 69 weeks, all right? Or 483 years, if that's how you want to look at it. Bible years, 360 days a year. Now, I did the math here, and I just told you, 69 times 7 is going to be 483, and then you multiply that times 360, and you come up with the number. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. And then he's going to say, and 80. I know score is 20. 80 is 60, right? So 80 and 2 weeks, the street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. So, and after 80 and 2... So, Messiah shall be cut off or crucified. And I love this, but not for himself. And then it says here, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now, Daniel told them to the day when it would happen. He said there's coming 434 years plus 49, and right here is when Jesus comes in riding on a donkey as Messiah the prince. That's why it says here, if I just show you just a couple of verses, in Luke 19, it says, and they brought him to Jesus, they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon, and as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. Now the Messiah, the Prince, is here. Wow, he's coming through that eastern gate. All this is in the Gospels. And as he was coming nigh now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Looks like they're going to receive him. And 4 days later, the same crowd that's saying, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. In 4 days, they're going to be saying, crucify him. Give us Barabbas. He knows that. The Lord knows that. That's why he wept over it. It says here, saying, blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. So when Jesus comes riding on that donkey that no man had ever rode, you know what he was doing? He was showing he was God of the universe. He got on an animal that nobody had, a donkey that nobody had ever ridden, and it was just doing what he said. He was saying, I am the Creator. Then, when you read Psalm 118, verse 26, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. This was the song that they were supposed to sing when the Messiah had come. It shows you that they said that. And here, people before this time tried to proclaim him king, but he wouldn't let them. Time had come, had not come. Now, it was exactly 483 years since permission was given to restore Jerusalem. And now you're in Daniel. Let's look at Daniel chapter 9. Look at verse 26. And after 80 or 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. So there's the crucifixion. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. That little phrase right there, the people of the prince that shall come, people have used to say, well, it's going to be Rome because Titus came. And Titus was a Roman emperor, and he trashed the city. And therefore, the people of the prince that shall come, the prince that shall come, that's also prophecy of the Antichrist. People have used verse 26 to say, person that's going to come and be the Antichrist is going to be the Pope. I've always thought that was strange, but I didn't know why until I studied. First of all, the Pope cannot be the Antichrist. To lead the Jews, you have to be a Jew. You can't be a white guy. What else? You got to be olive-skinned. To be the Antichrist, you have to be at least posing as a Jew. And the Pope is about as white as they get. He's a white guy. The Pope cannot go to Israel and say, I'm Jesus, I am the Messiah. That's garbage. So, when you study this a little closer, just wanted to show you this tonight. The people of the prince that shall come. Here's Rome, here's Italy, to conquer and destroy Jerusalem. Yes, Titus does leave Rome. But in the days of the Roman Empire, if you're going to fight somebody on this side of the empire, you don't march an army all the way over here. That takes a lot of food and time, right? So what you would do is you would amass your soldiers from this side of the world if you're going to fight right here, which is what they were going to do. So guess what happened? Out of Galatia, which is Turkey, and Syria, out of this area here, four legions of Roman soldiers that are Syrians, Turks, and Arabs. Four legions, okay? 1,000 each. That's how you want to number the Roman soldiers. Titus meets them over there and then leads them just the short distance down to besiege Jerusalem. Okay, does that make a lot more sense? You say, why is that important, preacher? Because when you read Daniel 9:26, it says, the people of the prince that shall come, the people of the Antichrist that shall come. Who destroyed Jerusalem? The Turks, the Syrians, and the Arabs. Who's the Antichrist going to be? I don't know, but I know you better be watching Syria because he's going to be a Muslim that's posing to be a Jew. Now that'll work. He's going to be a Muslim. And he's going to be posing to the Jews saying, I'll protect you as soon as we're out of here. But the people of the prince that shall come, okay, so there's Daniel 9:26. Let's keep on going here and look at the end of verse 26. And it says, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. What's that mean? So Titus is going to come through and destroy Jerusalem. That's the first part. It says he let everybody in for the Passover. Then he kept it. He locked up the city, wouldn't let anybody come out. And as people tried to escape, took about 2 years to besiege the city. It says people, when they would try to sneak out of a city, they'd swallow gold, take gold coins, you know, so it wouldn't be on pouches. So every person that escaped, drew over 2,000 people that escaped, they disemboweled and were looking for the gold. Preacher, you said this was going to be Christmassy. Okay, let's skip over that part, okay? It says here, it shall be with a flood. This is going to be in reference to, now we're going to go into, we're getting close to the tribulation period and the 70th week. And it says the end thereof shall be with a flood. If you want in your Bible, you could mark down Ezekiel 38 and 39, which is going to be the invasion of Jerusalem. As we come close to the end, I didn't want to, let's just keep on going here. So this is more of the prophecy. Next, you've got Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Ready? Here we go. And he shall confirm, who's he? When you're reading Daniel 9, you're talking about the Antichrist. Okay? And if we're in the end, we're in the 70th week. Okay? I'll show this to you here on a chart in just a second. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, or after 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Did you know Jesus spoke of the abomination that maketh desolate? He told in Matthew 24, he said in Luke 21, he said in Mark 13, he said, when you see the abomination that makes desolate, he said, don't even go back in and get your clothes. Run. What was he talking about? This is the Antichrist. What had happened is in about 200 during the Maccabean War and with the Antiochus Epiphanes, this happens a little bit after this. He is a type of Antichrist and he comes in and he cleans the temple out of the people and starts killing Jews and smears pig broth all over the inside of the temple. Well, can a Jew eat pigs? No. So it was way defiling the temple. To fulfill this prophecy in chapter 27, what's going to happen is the Antichrist in the 70th week. He's going to start at the first of the tribulation. We're out of here in the rapture. And then guess what happens? The Antichrist is going to tell Israel, I'll protect you. Then in the middle of the 3.5 years, he's going to break that treaty. And all those scriptures in Psalms about they eat up my people, and the vampirism and the cannibalism will start, and the Muslims will start eating the Jews. That all happens while we're in heaven. So he's going to break that treaty, and then, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So, there you have the 70th week described. It's the tribulation period. It's for Israel. It's not for us. We're not going through half of it. I don't care what they teach you on the internet. Stupid stuff. We're gone. Then the tribulation period, or the final 70th week. It's going to look like this. Here's the 70th week. So we went through 7 years. Nehemiah and them built the wall and the temple through troublous times, right? Then 483 more years, Jesus enters, the Messiah, the Prince, and then he is cut off. Then there's a space here, and that's where we're at. We're the church. We don't know when it's going to end. That's why the thing we're looking at, that's us. And there's nothing in the church about the church in the Old Testament. All the Old Testament tells you is what's happening with Israel. All right? But we, the church, we're not there. That's why the gaps. Remember? First coming, second coming, and it just goes right into it. We aren't in the Old Testament anywhere. All right? So, with that in mind, we're right here. So, learning the Old Testament for the Jews and the New Testament for the Gentiles, that gives you the whole picture. That's how come we know more about Daniel chapter 9 than Daniel did. Daniel didn't even know what he was writing. He said he was troubled many days, and God said, seal up the vision, and it'll be showed when we get close to the end. We know much more prophecy than Daniel did. All right? Which is kind of neat as we get close to Jesus coming. You say here, remember the mountaintops of prophecy and the view and all of this. Jesus is coming soon, and we're here in this 2,000-year period. And the next thing supposed to happen is the rapture. That's what's supposed to happen. That's what we're all supposed to be longing for. It's our lively hope. The rapture could happen tomorrow. But that's Christmas. It could happen at any time. It's what we're supposed to be as Christians looking forward to. And you say, well, and here's what's amazing. So few people talk about the rapture anymore. Just like so few people were talking about. Everybody should have had Daniel chapter 9 when Jesus came. That's how come there's only, if you read it later on, it's Luke 2. Simon and Anna were the only people who walked into the temple. Simon lifts up baby Jesus and he says, now I've seen thy salvation. How come there wasn't a whole bunch of people there? Because hardly anybody was reading their Bible. Hardly anybody was paying attention to the Bible. What I'm trying to tell you is, you could say, yeah, this is 600 years before Jesus came. He said, I'll tell you when I'm coming again. And then he wept. Tonight's Bible study, I thought it was had a little bit to do with Christmas because it's so exact. But what's in your Bible? What should we be looking for now? The rapture. But so few people are reading their Bible. Did you know what? If you read 2 Timothy, I'll close with this. There's a crown up in heaven for those who love his appearing. Every day when you walk towards the window and say, wow, it might be today. Maybe today we might get to go home. Maybe sometime this week. Wouldn't that be great? Maybe it might be before the close of 2019. Might be before the impeachment. Okay, never mind. Okay, I had to put that in there, okay? As goofy as that is. Tonight, what you're going to take home is this handout here, and it is an overview, and it shows you. I think this will bring things to your remembrance. I tried to give a teaching here. What happens in this tribulation period, this 1 week period, all of this stuff. I tried to put scripture in there. I don't think you'll struggle with it at all. Merry Christmas. God bless you. Let's pray, and then we'll dismiss. Father, thank you again for your word. And Lord, as the Jews missed when Jesus came the first time, just some shepherds, and then a few years later, some magi from 13 nations.